over the summer. How do you think that's affected the Labour Party in general?
Well, it's been quite interesting. I've done a lot of talking to my constituency party members. I think I've spoken to about 200 people. And what I find is that people who've been members of the party for a long time want Owen Smith, and new members are more keen on Jeremy Corbyn. I'm voting for Owen Smith, and I hope people will vote for Owen, because I think he's better at communicating with the average voter, if you know what I mean. I mean, in order to make changes in Britain, Labour has to win elections. And in order to win elections, we have to persuade people. So in order to persuade people, we need good spokesmen. And I think Owen is good at pitching it in a way that is just discussing the things that matter to most people and getting to grips with things in a way that everybody finds appealing. And so I think he would be a better leader.
Now, it's on the 24th of September when I think the result is going to be sort of known. We get into the conference season. If, you know, Jeremy goes back in, I mean, it's going to make Labour look a little bit silly, isn't it?
Well, I haven't got a crystal ball and I don't know what's going to happen. So, I mean, I just really don't quite know how it'll pan out, to be absolutely truthful. I think we just have to wait and see. I'm trying to persuade as many people as possible to use their vote for Owen so that we might have another Labour government as soon as possible. And we just got to see what's going to happen.
Because we're coming up now to the conference season, so Parliament's now broken up for about 3 or 4 weeks again. And I noticed, like you've just been saying, I noticed Jeremy was very weak against Theresa May the other day, and that is going to be a serious problem in the future, as you say, isn't it?
Yeah, although I think he won on grammar schools.
Yeah.
I think he did very well on grammar schools this week. I wasn't in Parliament this week, actually, because I went to Rome and Berlin to talk to governments there about how we can get the best Brexit deal possible for us. Because, you know, this is a big negotiation and there are different ways of handling it. And in order for us to get the best deal, we need to start talking to the other countries about how they see the situation.
Because Brexit now, and when Parliament does reform, and of course we've got the Queen's speech, it's going to be very interesting to see what the Conservatives have got in there. But obviously Brexit's going to be top of the list, surely.
Totally top of the list. I mean, the government seems to be quite split on how they want to handle this. So someone like Phil Hammond, new Chancellor of the Exchequer, emphasising the importance of trade and exports. But on the other hand, Theresa May and David Davis emphasising the importance of immigration control. Now, when I was talking to the people in the other European countries, they said, basically, you need to choose which of those is your priority. You're not going to get maximum trade and maximum immigration control. There's got to be a trade-off, and you need to think about how to do that.
But this Article 50 is going to have to be triggered, and I keep thinking it's going to be 2 years after that's triggered anyway.
Oh yes, it is.
So you're looking at January. If it's left any longer than that, then you're going to be virtually, you know, 2019, 2020 when we're due for another election.
Yep, that's true. I mean, the government have not been clear about what process they want to follow. In my opinion, they should publish a white paper, set out what the options are, set out what their preferred agenda is, give Parliament a vote on the options, and after that, we should trigger Article 50. I think that would be the way of being clearest and most open with the public. And the Brexit people campaigned on the policy of Parliament taking back control. So I think that, you know, we should agree which path we want to follow. But they seem to be just running around in private, in having little huddles. So I don't really know what they're up to.
But it's going to be very... I mean, I think, you know, the period that's coming now, autumn into next spring, is probably going to be the most important time of our parliamentary history.
I think this is a big, big deal. I mean, I can't think of anything since 1945 which is quite as significant as this. It really is a very big deal. You're quite right about that.
Now, going back to local issues, I mean, we must say that Kieran over the summer has been an absolute astounding success. It ends, you know, this coming weekend, but it's just been terrific by all the volunteers, everybody that's contributed to it, and it's brought a lot of people into the town.
Certainly has. Well, I enjoyed it. I went on the opening night, which is more than 2 months ago now, and I think 120,000 people have come, which is absolutely phenomenal. So they'll do it next year, and they'll do it the year after, and more people will come, and Bishop's reputation will soar, as it should.
And, you know, it's going to be next year as well, which is going to bring more people into the town. And on the town side of things, do you think it's going to bring new businesses and sort of new factory situations into the town? People, you know, are going to sort of like come in and start a new business?
I think it's very good for shops. And I think the people who have shops and cafes have got a real opportunity here. And it's important that they grasp this with both hands, because it can really help their businesses a lot, definitely.
Now, just over the last week or so, there's been new boundaries posted for members of Parliament. Does that affect you in any way, these new boundaries that they're trying to sort in the County
yes.
Durham area?
Yes, it does. They're trying to give the Bishop Auckland constituency Firrihill and Willington, but take away from us Teesdale. So I think the people in Teesdale will be quite unhappy about that, to be honest, because I think they see themselves as very much connected with Barnard Castle. So I think they're going to be a bit put out by it. And they feel they don't have much connection right up with Consett in Lanchester, because they get put into a constituency like that. We told the Boundary Commission 5 years ago that that wasn't a very good idea, but they presented it again. I mean, the fact is, what the government's trying to do is reduce the number of members of Parliament by 50. And in order to do that, you have to make all the constituencies bigger, so that MPs will be spread more thin across more people. So I think I get, under this plan, something like an extra 8,000 constituents, which is quite a lot of people with quite a lot of issues. One thing that really annoys me about it is that in deciding how big the constituencies should be, they've not taken account of the 2 million people who registered to vote in the referendum. Now, I think that that's wrong. I can't see any justification for ignoring those 2 million people.
It doesn't make sense at all, does it?
Not to me.
You know, and it's a lot for one person, for yourself as a one member of MP to cover, isn't it? So it's a massive area.
Yeah, it is a very big area. We've got 300 square kilometres at the moment. And, yeah, I mean, compared with those little inner city seats, it's a big constituency. And that takes time too, you know, I mean, half an hour to drive from one place to another, it all takes time.
Now, the NHS, again, our local County Durham and Darlington Trust, are doing a sort of review of all their services again, and Bishop Auckland Hospital is not too far out of the news.
Well, I think the thing that is at risk here is not Bishop, actually, it's A&E in Darlington, or A&E in Durham, and I think this is extremely worrying. The government made a promise in the last general election to move to a 24/7 NHS. All services, not just A&E, but all services and operations and appointments and everything, 24/7. Now, if you're going to do that, you've got to put more resource in. And they are refusing to put the extra resource in. So because they want to fulfil that promise, they are... The civil servants who work for the NHS are having to look at other cuts in order to make the books balance. And one of the possible cuts is closures of A&E. Now, that's really problematic for us, because it takes half an hour to get to James Cook, it takes half an hour to get into Durham, and it just doesn't seem to me to be safe.
But anybody that's up in the Dales, I mean, even for ourselves here in Bishop, it's impossible by bus, even by car, it's 20 minutes, half an hour. I mean, those in the Dales, they don't have a hope if anybody's seriously ill. It really does, you know, it's serious.
It is very, it's very dangerous. I mean, if you live in Barnard Castle, it's 52 minutes to James Cook. So you imagine, and then on top of that, you add the ambulance wait, and you know, everybody around here knows that we're waiting too long for ambulances. It might be over an hour in an emergency. It's really not acceptable.
But all that we hear, though, is the government are putting more and more money in, but we don't seem to be able to see it.
Well, you have to put more money into the NHS to stand still, because you have to get new kit and new drugs are very expensive, and so, and we've, and obviously with an ageing population, demand is going up as well. So there's a certain amount, I think 8 billion or something, you have to put that in to stand still. Then, if you want to make improvements on top of that, you need to put extra money in. And that's what they're not doing. And that's why they need to get off this 24/7 idea, because the trade-off is closing one of our local A&E departments. In my opinion, people would rather have A&E departments for crises than be able to have hip operations on a Sunday morning. That's what I think. And, you know, I'd be very surprised if that isn't the view of most people.
I mean, I'm quoting figures here, but recently Durham were on the news, the Durham Health Authority, and they were on the news saying, oh, 60,000 people have gone through Durham in 1 year. Well, what did they expect closing Bishop? And I think they were asked as well, what are the chances of reopening Bishop? And they haven't, you know, I don't think they'll ever do it.
No, and at the moment we've got to defend our urgent care centre, because they're also reviewing the hours for the urgent care centre, and we really cannot have no urgent care centre overnight in Bishop, and I've made that very clear to them.
But you are involved with all these conversations and obviously keeping in touch, well, like you've always done since the, it was mooted that casualty would go anyway, but it's always been a fight for you, hasn't it?
It is a fight. It is a fight. And in a way, the NHS isn't democratically accountable, and that's part of the problem. So, you know, they get central directives out from the Department of Health, and they need to learn to be more responsive to local people.
Well, look, thank you very much indeed for popping in again. It's lovely to have you on Mornings and More again.
I enjoyed it.
You know, I know that you're going to be extremely busy in the autumn, and hopefully you'll pop back in and see us again soon.
Yeah, great. Excellent. I'd like to do that.
Bishop FM.